know. Sometimes just like that rain comes in the weather and comes in our bodies. Amen. Hallelujah.
We're excited.
Hear the word. Amen. Solomon's an excited, aren't you, buddy? Probably got a smile out of him. He always looks at me like, oh, I don't know about you. He'll know that I hold the chocolate. The kids, they know the pastor holds the chocolate. They come and get chocolate and mints. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you ready? We good up there? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm waiting for my honey. She probably didn't have enough. He's got a covering. Well, he's got his man cave there. That's called a little man cave. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's get started. Tonight we're going to start a new series. It's called True Christian Characteristics. You know, Christians is only mentioned one time in the Acts chapter 11, verse number 26. Christians are followers of Christ, and they first were named Christians in Antioch. Amen? So as we're talking about Christians, we're all followers of Christ, and we're going to look at our characteristics. As a follower of Christ, we're to take on his image. A characteristic is a feature or a quality belonging to. Amen? So we're going to be looking at Christian characteristics. I want to say this tonight before we get started. That so many times people look at the word and say, oh, no, another thing I got to do or another thing I can't do. Another thing I got to do or another thing I can't do. And the whole thing about being a Christian or a child of God, it's about relationship. It's about revelation. And when Christ is reigning in your life, you don't want to do some things anymore. things don't look the same as they used to look. They have a different appearance. They look differently. And we don't look at others differently. You know, we don't compare ourselves with others. But at the same time, we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to just speak the first with on the subject of new birth. And in John chapter 3, it's a familiar text. We'll just start and read with verse number 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But tonight we want to talk about Verse number 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So many times this scripture is misinterpreted. It has nothing to do with baptism of water. It has to do with being washed with the water. There's a difference between the rites of baptism and the water of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Matter of fact, John the Baptist said, him that follow me, that whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So first, it speaks of baptism. Baptism is to immerse under. And if I'm immersed under the water of the Spirit, I'm under the influence of that. So look with me in John chapter 4 as we establish where we're going with this. Verse number 10, what? Well, raise your hand and ask somebody to give you a pen. Who had the pens? Was you with the case of pens, honey? You can have a pouch of pens. Give it shall be given back to you. Amen. So we're in John chapter 4, verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and the children, and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but that water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, if we look to John chapter 7, I'm just establishing that the water isn't the baptism. That's the rite. That's not what Jesus is speaking about. In verse 37 of John chapter 7, Jesus said this, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, so when I was looking at this, I was looking at this, okay, say, Lord, what are we talking about with the water? And he said, and he took me to Ephesians chapter 5, so go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. It's kind of interesting in Ephesians 5 because the Apostle Paul is dealing with husbands and wives in marriage, okay? And he's talking about how marriage should be done. It's done in order, and God has an order of things. But in verse 25, he says this. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Now, we are washed by water, washed of the water of the Word. Remember that Jesus is the Word, in John 1:14, the Word became flesh. So he says, I'm the water, but you're redeemed or you're saved by the water and by the Spirit. When we get baptized in water, It's just an outward expression of what's taking place in our hearts and our lives. Amen. The water doesn't get me to heaven. Jesus does. If I gave my heart to Jesus and got struck by a train right after I gave my heart to Jesus and I never made it to the baptism tank, that baptism tank isn't going to get me to heaven or keep me from going to heaven. Amen. Let's not get carried away with the rites. What this rite is just like communion. The communion doesn't save anybody. The communion is an act of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his broken body and his shed blood. And the same way with baptism and water. So what Jesus is saying to you and I, we're immersed, we're doused, or we're soaked with the water of the word. And so when we're in Christ Jesus first, he says that we're baptized into his body. Amen. Romans 12. Verse number 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Okay? We're all in one family. Amen. The water in the tank didn't join us together. Okay? The water in the tank didn't bring us in unity together. It was Christ Jesus. Amen. It's being baptized in his fullness. Amen. Amen. The way I understand it with my walk with the Lord, the more I have of him, the less I have of me. The less I have of him, the more I have of me. Amen? Yep. So as we're looking at this, we're baptized into his fullness. He gave us everything what we need. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to build off this and go places with this. But the Lord said I had to establish a foundation. When we're speaking about being baptized in Christ, verse 23 of Ephesians 1 says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All right? So his fullness is in us. We have the fullness of Christ. Sometimes there's some misconception or misunderstanding. The Holy Spirit never comes in partiality. Huh? Yeah, he doesn't come in, he doesn't come little by little. When I am baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I have revelation of the one that's in me. Amen? In other words, the fullness is in all. He didn't say, just because you spoke in tongues. He said that that's part of being in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's part of being part of his body. He has the fullness. And then when I had revelation and understanding of the ones in me, and then I could pray in the Spirit. And I tell you what, if you don't want to have the Holy Ghost, you ought to get in your closet or ask for it. Because I'll tell you what, man, I build up my faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I know it takes a faith. It's a battle out here, is it not? Amen. Amen. So he's given us everything. He wants us not only to know that we have his fullness, but also we're complete in the completeness. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9, speaking of Christ, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, speaking of you and I. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're not partial. You're not part. You're complete. I want you to understand that he gave you and I the whole deal. Amen? He's the real deal. He's all there. Amen? Are you with me? So what is he saying first? He is saying here tonight, he's saying that we're baptized, we're immersed in the Spirit of God by the Word. Amen. My spirit man feeds the word. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't need the word. He is the word. But I have the spirit of man in me, and I have the spirit of God in me. And my spirit man, my flesh man, needs the word so I can overcome the adversary. Amen? And in other words, because the thought here is, well, if Christ is in me, I don't need the word because I have Christ in me. Well, that's a lie from Satan. Because you have a flesh spirit and you have the Holy Spirit. And they're at enmity against one another. It's a battle in there.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you have a question? No. Okay. I thought your hand raised. Hallelujah. He's good. He says the preaching's going on. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So we're immersed. Then he also said in our text tonight, he said, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And this speaks about being regenerated. Now, to me, to regenerate something means to generate it again. All right? And if the old man dies, there has to be some resurrection.
Right.
Something has to come alive. For me to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, for old things to be passed away, for everything to become new, I have to be regenerated. Amen? I got to be real on fire. You know what a generator does? It keeps your battery from dying. Hello? If you look at the natural, when your automobile, you have a generator. The generator keeps the battery from dying, because if you're not connected to the generator, your battery will run out and loses its power. It can only sustain itself, and that's kind of like we are without the regenerator. You know, we don't have any power, but when we got the generator, and if you look at a generator and you look at the amps and the watts of a generator and your battery, the generator keeps your battery full. Amen? Unless you got some dead cells, then we got to bind those things and get those things out and get some new cells or resell. Hallelujah. In your battery. Amen? But God wants he says that he's given us the Spirit to regenerate us, or to generate us again. Look with me in Titus chapter 3. Verse number 5, we talked about this, that not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration. We're washed by the word, and we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm regenerated and renewed. I'm regenerated and renewed daily. Amen? Amen? I don't know about you. If you ran on your battery all week and you didn't have your generator, and you were driving at night, you wouldn't have any headlights, and you would be bumping into things. You'd be crashing. You'd be wrecking. Amen? And God wants you to understand, this is what he's talking about, that we're washed and we're regenerated and we're renewed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're washed. We're cleansed. We're sanctified. And when he says this, he says that then we become a new creature, or a new creation I have in here. It speaks of regeneration. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, when we're born again in new birth, now I'm going to look at water. I'm not too familiar with this. I'm not a doctor, but I'll just speak it. I'll speak out of school here. A woman that's carrying a child is carrying a child in a sack, and the sack is surrounded by water, right? The baby's born in water, right? So, and what happens is the water breaks and gives birth, okay? And the same way is we're born again by the water of the Spirit, amen? The water of the Spirit is what makes us that new creature in Christ Jesus, where old things can pass away, and behold, all things become new. It speaks of new birth in 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse number 23. Again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me a minute. Why do you think the adversary tries to keep you from getting in this book? Hello? Why do you think that everything happens? I can't do it because I got this, or I can't do it. Oh, I'm too busy to do this. I'm too busy. What God wants you to understand is you can do everything better if you get in the Word first. Hello? You can do everything better because His strength is made perfect in your weakness, and this Word refreshes us, renews us. Amen? And there's so many different options we have. Man, it doesn't have to be. Almost everybody in the room has an iPhone. Hello? The Bible will talk to you. You can do something else while the Bible talks. Hello? And then every once in a while, yeah. Huh? But when you get that, yeah, once in a while, you need to stop. You know, because when the Lord is speaking, there are certain things He wants us to get. He wants us to get a hold of. He wants us to hear. Amen? And we're not reading for this just the sake of reading. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it. I'll probably say it 100 times. I think the worst thing in the world is people that take a read the Bible in a year plan. They don't get anything out of the Bible. They're just reading. Well, you go ahead. Not going there. Hallelujah. But but what I'm saying is, I believe the Lord would rather you read a little and get understanding than a whole bunch and get nothing. Hello? It's depending where you are and you walk with the Lord. Amen? So he says that he also gives us a new heart. Ezekiel prophesied about this in Ezekiel 36, so go back with me. Hallelujah. Verse number 25, Ezekiel 36 says this. He says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Amen. In other words, God's word is not grievous to us when we're walking in the Spirit. When we're feeding our spirit, man, then we can do all things through Christ. He wants us to understand that. Amen? When I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not getting beat up all the time. I'm not up one moment, down the next. I mean, I'm not on a roller coaster. This isn't a roller coaster ride. He says He'll walk with me in the mountain, in the valley. No matter where I'm at, He is there. He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. When we're trusting in ourselves, that's when we get in trouble. Amen? So He wants us to quicken our spirit by the Word of God and by the Spirit. So here's what we're doing. He wants us to recognize that we are kingdom men and women. He says in our text tonight, he says, and the Spirit, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, when I'm looking at the kingdom of God, I'm looking at the kingdom, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I believe we're kingdom men and women. God has sent us on this earth and let us be on this earth to establish his kingdom. Amen. And as we're establishing his kingdom, he says in Romans chapter 14, verse number 17, he says, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's right in righteousness and peace, and it's in joy of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost joy. I love the Holy Spirit. But you know what? I love Jesus a lot more than I love the Holy Spirit. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, amen, none of us would be in this room. And when you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Father. Because it's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, all three in one. Amen. Amen. Nowhere in his word does he tell us to follow the Holy Spirit. He tells us to follow Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit leads us to things of Jesus, leads us to things of the Father. Amen. Amen. He says he'll lead us and guide us in the steps that we're to take. Amen. And God wants us to understand he's established his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. He also says to us, it speaks of translation. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. There's two kingdoms. Two. There's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There's no other kingdoms. There might be all kinds of different spirits, but there's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And here's what he says to you and I in Colossians 1:13. He says he's delivered us from the power of darkness. In other words, darkness has no power over you. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Translated, it's just like, it's just, and all of a sudden, suddenlies. Amen. I love God's suddenlies. Amen. Is anybody else with me? Anybody loves any God suddenly? The Apostle Paul said this kingdom is powerful. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 20. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. It's Holy Ghost power. It's the anointing and the power of God that we're kingdom men and women. We're called to walk in power and authority. And his kingdom is incorruptible. This kingdom is incorruptible. I think it's interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul says in verse 49, he says, and as we were, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither do of corruption inherit incorruption. Behold you, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. In other words, this body cannot stand in God's glory. Hello? Hello? When John the Revelator was caught up to heaven, he was caught up in a vision and a dream. His flesh could not stand in God's presence. Even when Moses went up to the Mount of God, he told him to hide behind the cleft of the rock, and he put his hand over him, and he let him look at a little bit of his hind part. Hello? Because he couldn't behold his glory, because this body cannot take the glory of God. Amen? Amen? And God is transforming us into his image by the power of God. So what is God saying in this character that we have as we build on this? It's God's power. It's God. You know, when I look at the word and said this week, just show you this week, I've been having physical issues. Not real severe physical issues, but I've been having thick mucus. Not colored or anything, not infection or anything, but just thick mucus. And I asked the Lord what I should do, and the Lord said, well, I told you before, and I've been in rebellion. Has anybody else been in rebellion anytime? I don't like water, so I got to drink water. And so I got a new plan. I'm drinking a bottle of water in the morning, a bottle of water at lunch, and a bottle of water at night. All right? And no, and when I ran today, I have to learn to breathe again because all the dry stuff was gone, and I was breathing heavy because I used to have to breathe harder, but I'm breathing easier. Amen? It's the truth, right? Amen? So I always thought that I was abnormal. Anybody agree? it's revelation. That I didn't have to have water, but I have to have water. Why I'm saying this is whatever God's calling us to do, and whatever He ministers to our heart to do, He'll give us the strength and the power to do it.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. So He's helping me not to taste the tasteless water. Right? But that's what the Lord's saying there. That hey, there's things that we're going to grow, there's things that we're going to become, and He's going to challenge us. You know? And let me say something to you. Before He challenges you, He's going to challenge me. All right? He ain't going to let me speak anything that I ain't going to apply to myself. All right? And if I'm not applying to myself, I'm not allowed to tell you about it or speak it to you. All right? Amen? There's some areas I really haven't got to in the Word yet because I'm still a work in progress in those areas that I haven't got total victory in those areas yet when I do. but patience is a virtue, right?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Amen. So what the Lord wants you to understand when you're looking at that, when you're born of water and born of the Spirit, unless you're born of the water, unless you're born of Jesus Christ and of the Word, you're born of the Word, amen?
Amen?
By the gospel, you're born of the Word and of the Spirit. The Spirit takes residence. Without the water and the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So without Jesus, you can't enter. And if you're at Jesus, you have the Spirit. Amen? Because Jesus is the Word. Hello? Some of you old historians, you look at the Old Testament, and you really don't realize that the Old Testament was nothing but a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do. The law was nothing but it was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Amen? So everything was established to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the law. Amen? And we're made perfect in Christ Jesus when we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Hello? Praise God. Can we all stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stretch. Move. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And Father, I thank you that you sent your word here to accomplish everything that you sent it to do in every heart and every life. We thank you, Father God, for the word, that you, the washing of water by the word, that you were being sanctified, that we're being set apart by your word. Your word purifies us, Father God. Your word tells us to be pure as you're pure, and your word is sanctifying our flesh man to align with the spirit man. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God. I thank you for our helper, our advocate, our friend, Father God. Father, you see each and every one that's gathered here today, Father God. They're all in different places with you. I pray, Father God, that you give us a desire and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So, Father God, as you're pouring out your spirit and your word into our lives, Father God, we're being transformed, Father God. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything's becoming new. And I thank you for every man and woman in this room. They're called. They're appointed.